Proclamation number 4617 of 18th of April, 1949. Easter Monday. Sin against the Spirit. All sins are forgiven you, except those against the Spirit. You detach yourselves from the letter too heavily and thus do not penetrate the spirit of the word, which is why much of what I have left you as my word is incomprehensible to you. For this reason you must again and again make use of me as a teacher who can and will introduce you to the truth, thus explain everything to you truthfully. The working of the Spirit in a human being is visibly a characteristic of the eternal deity's participation in the perfection of every individual creature, just as it is therefore also a visible expression of its emanation of strength. If I now work in a person through my Spirit, the connection between me and this person can no longer be denied, because the spiritual spark which rests in the human being's heart is inseparably connected to the Father Spirit from eternity and now awakens to activity through my approach, thus it works in the human being. However, the working of my Spirit in the human being will always mean help on the path to perfection. It will mean the turning of the thoughts into the spiritual kingdom and an urging of the soul to unite with me, thus an upward progress in spiritual development. The Spirit will make the soul incline towards all ideas and help it to overcome the desire for matter. The Spirit will give the soul enlightenment about its purpose and its former destiny. The Spirit will reveal the essence of all divinity to the soul. It will impart clear and profound knowledge to it. Thus it will give it a light which is incomparably blissful when it can first work with all luminosity. The working of the Spirit in the human being is therefore a divine revelation. I take care of the human being myself and give him a small concept of my glory, and thus I am present to him as soon as he adjusts himself such that my working can take place in him, irrespective of whether the results of my working are obvious manifestations or signify inner enlightenment by mental means. But the human being has then always entered into a volitional connection with me and has carried out the will by shaping his heart into love, thus into a dwelling place worthy of receiving the eternal deity, which can now reveal itself from within. Such an act of demonstrable spiritual activity testifies to me myself. Thus it is also to a certain extent a proof which surpasses faith. Anyone who has once gained this conviction, because the evidence of my existence and my presence has been provided, understandably stands on a level of development which should make a descent impossible, because this is almost impossible with the realization of truth. And yet, as long as he lives on earth as a human being, he can himself step into the shadow and darken the light. He can sin against the Spirit, and thereby transgress in the grossest way by rejecting me again and thus repeating his former apostasy from me. He can consciously prevent the working of the Spirit. Despite better realization, he cannot make use of his knowledge, thus he can favor a spiritual regression, fully aware of committing an injustice. He has gained the evidence and conviction of my presence and yet turned away from me again. Thus his will has again been captured by the adversary whom he had already escaped, and he does not defend himself against him. Only the person who recognized me in my working through the Spirit, who appropriated the wisdom imparted to him as mental knowledge by also having gained the inner conviction intellectually, thus was able to believe and in this firm faith committed himself to it, can sin against the Spirit. He received and also made use of my grace in the richest measure and now lets it become ineffective. Therefore he cannot expect mercy either, because he pushes away the deity who, in its infinite love, had brought itself completely close to him and pulled the veil from his eyes. And this sin cannot be forgiven because he then also closes himself to Christ's act of salvation, because if he rejects my spirit he also rejects the divine Redeemer. Thus he no longer wants to believe even though he was able to believe. Thus he also forfeited the blessings of the act of salvation by not making use of Christ's helper, for he sinned. For the divine Redeemer would have dispelled the first such thoughts and put them right if only he had been approached for help. He was in the kingdom of light before and stepped out into the darkness. He was equipped with the abilities to recognize the truth, and the truth did not please him because it obliged him to redemptive activity which he does not want to carry out because love grew cold in him. This is very rare in people who have experienced my working of the spirit within themselves, therefore it is also unforgivable because it is an open resistance against me which cannot find forgiveness. Which means that he has to stay far away from God for endless times until he turns to me again and has to acquire the grace again to be looked upon by me, i.e., that I approach him again. This sin cannot be forgiven out of grace and mercy, but it has to be carried away in total guilt. It irrevocably entails a new banishment and thus the whole path through creation. Because it is a renewed apostasy which is not inferior to the former apostasy of the spiritual from me, because it is committed in fullest realization, because a person in whom my spirit can already work is also in the light and therefore commits a grave sin if he betrays me again against the one who influences him as my adversary, who is recognized by him and to whom he nevertheless is at will. Thus not forgiving a sin means that the guilt cannot be taken away from him but has to be carried away by himself, which is why he need not be regarded as eternally lost, only eternities will pass before he finally confesses me. Amen.